When wishes were horses and beggars could ride, in a stone castle by the sea there lived a rich laird.
What am I supposed to choose? There are so many.
And so he left the trail, and he followed the sound of the music.
I am the goat from the hills and the mountains. And when I have finished eating these herbs and these vegetables, then I shall eat you, too.
Once upon a time, and welcome to the Story Story Podcast. I'm your host, Isabel Hauser, and I have some stories for you. This is a podcast to hear traditional stories told by some of the best storytellers in the world. It will take you to long ago and far away, and will bring you back safely. I am delighted to start this episode with a really lovely review that we received from Nico. Nico gave the podcast 5 stars and said, "I love the podcast. It makes me think of new ideas for my drawings." Followed by myriad of emojis. Followed by, "Dear Isabel, I think you should let the genie out. I would wish for a world peace or to have a happy life. I love the podcast." And more delightful emojis ensue. Ah, the genie. Remember when I went to Dubai at the beginning of March this year? I came back and felt as if I had just woken up from a dream that lasted 1001 nights. And the only proof that all of the wonderful things really happened were the sparkly dresses and the wonder lamp that I'd found in the mysterious corner of a souk. A wonder lamp that sang to me. Not long after I got home, the tides of the world began to turn. I got distracted and I put the singing lamp on a shelf and, well, I just forgot about it. But Nico's message brought it back to my mind. I took the magic lamp down from the shelf, where I kept various trinkets and treasures from my travels, sea glass from Ireland, a framed four-leaf clover, a golden crown and a silver cup. And I thought that I could hear the faint melody. As I looked at the magical lamp closely, I saw that it had gathered some dust and out of reflex I rubbed it on my sleeve. The first teller for this episode is Donna Washington. Donna grew up surrounded by stories. Her father would sit at the dinner table and spin the wildest yarns imaginable. He taught her Arthurian legend and Greek mythology by telling the stories as if they had happened to him, and so Donna believed that he had really and truly been with those heroes and wise men. She grew up to be a multiple award-winning recording artist, having performed at thousands of schools and libraries and numerous storytelling festivals throughout the country. And this is her sharing The Wise King, The Cook, and The Farmer.
There was once a king who was very, very wise. He was so wise, in fact, that scholars from all over the land came to live in his kingdom just to study his wisdom. He was also very fair. And because he was so fair, poor people from all over the land came to live in his country because they knew that if they got in trouble, the king would not look down on them because they were poor. Because there were so many people living in the kingdom, merchants from all over came to live in the kingdom. Pretty soon there were not enough shops to go around, and many of the merchants had to sell their wares out of carts. One of the merchants was a cook, and he made the most wonderful stew. It was so wonderful, in fact, that people used to follow him through the streets, hoping that they would get hungry so that they could buy a bowl. In this kingdom there was also a farmer, a very, very poor man. He worked all year with his crops, and when he had sold everything he had grown, he always had just enough money to buy shoe leather for his children, a nice present for his wife, and a loaf of bread. One year, after working very, very hard, he had 5 copper pennies. He took them into the town, which was a good 2 days' walk. When he got there, oh, he was very, very tired. His wife had given him a loaf of bread before he left, and he'd been chewing on it the entire time he'd been walking. When he finally got to the town, he had only the crust left. As he walked through the town, looking at all the people, he suddenly smelt a wonderful smell. Oh, it was so wonderful. He followed his nose. Oh, into a great big square where there were people lounging everywhere. And in the middle of it all, there was a little man standing behind a cart. The little man had a pinched face, pinched eyes, and a little pinched mouth. He was snapping at the people around him, and he was ladling out stew. Oh, and the stew, it smelled so wonderful. Before the farmer could stop his feet, he'd walked straight up to the cart. Oh. And then he heard a voice. What are you looking at? The farmer jumped back, and there was a little man with the pinched eyes and the pinched mouth and the little pinched face. He said, do you want something or not? The farmer said, no, I... Then get out of the way, you smell. And besides that, I've got people who want to buy stew. Get. The farmer backed up. Oh, he couldn't buy the stew, but, ooh, he could smell it. He felt his pocket, and there was that crust of bread. His stomach was churning. He really wanted that stew, but he knew that if he bought some stew, he wouldn't have enough money left to buy shoe leather or a present for his wife. Then he got an idea. He pulled out that crust of bread, and when the cook opened his stew pot, the farmer waved the bread in the air. Some of that steam and smell soaked into that crust of bread, and when the farmer bit into it, oh, it was quite satisfying. A little warm, had just enough of the smell of the stew in it to make it delicious. The farmer sat and ate that bread, and when he was done, he heard a voice. Well, pay up! The farmer said, what? I said the cook, pay up! You took the smell of my stew. I want 5 silver pieces for that. 5 silver pieces, said the farmer, for the smell of your stew? Yep, that's right, 5 silver pieces, right now, in my hand. The farmer said, but the stew doesn't even cost 5 silver pieces. That's right, but the smell does. The farmer said, I don't have 5 silver pieces. Then you're going to be thrown into the dungeons, cried the cook. Bring the guards, this man is stolen from me, bring the guards. The guards came, and when the cook told them what he was shouting about, well, first they said, oh, this is ridiculous. But some of the people who wanted the cook to look favorably upon them stood behind him and said, the cook is right. The man must pay him. But some of the other people who couldn't quite afford the stew, they lined up behind the farmer and said, oh, come on now. 5 silver pieces for smell? They argued and argued until finally no one could decide what to do. The guards took the cook and the farmer before the king. The king listened to both men. The cook said, what am I to do? Just give my wares away. I must make a living. This man stole from me. I told him 5 silver pieces. He didn't have it. Throw him in the dungeon. The king said, does the stew cost 5 silver pieces? The cook said, well, no, it doesn't. But the smell does. The farmer said, your majesty, I have only 5 copper pennies. Enough to buy shoes for my children and maybe something nice for my wife. If I give this man all of my money, it still won't be enough. And besides that, the smell is in the air for anyone. Why should I have to pay for something that belongs to no one? The king listened, and then he said, farmer, I see what kind of man you are, and cook, I see what kind of man you are. Farmer, the cook will not be satisfied unless you pay him. And so you will have to. The cook grinned. It was a pinched grin, but it was a grin nonetheless. Go back to your cart, cook. The farmer will be along to pay you. As the cook left, the king sent a messenger down to the treasure room. He said, the cook asked for silver, but I will see to it that he gets gold. Bring me a 5-pound bag of gold. The farmer didn't know what to say. He was going to give the cook a 5-pound bag of gold? When the messenger came back, the king handed the farmer the gold and said, take this down to the cook's cart. Take 1 gold piece out of the bag and tap it up against the cart 5 times so that he may hear the sound of your money. and keep the rest of the gold. The farmer ran down to the cart. By the time he got there, lots of people had crowded around. They wanted to see what the king was going to do. The farmer pulled out a gold piece. The cook's eyes began to shine. And then the farmer tapped the gold piece up against the cart 5 times. Ting, 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 ting. So that he could hear the sound of the money. At first, everyone was quiet. And then they began to laugh. The farmer put the rest of the money in his belt sash and walked away. Be it fair or be it funny, the man was paid with the sound of money. And that is the story of the wise king, the cook, and the farmer.
The fairy tale sponsor for this episode is Habitual Quest Support Group. Have you married royalty and own half the kingdom, and yet you find yourself wandering through the forest wielding a sword you don't remember acquiring? Can you not stop hunting trolls and insist on being called Jack? Is your pocket perpetually full of bread that you insist on giving to old women, although they keep on telling you that they are full and have no more quests to send you on? Wander no more and join us at Habitual Quest Support Group. With our foolproof 12-step program, you'll learn the difference between a damsel in distress and someone minding their own business. And even if we can't cure you of the wandering, at least we can teach you how to turn it into a good story. Habitual Quest Support Group. Happy Ever After is just around the corner. The patron for this episode is Janet Ferris. As a patron of the arts and generous supporter of the podcast, Janet owns a pair of very special shoes. That is, a pair of magic slippers. And with those magic slippers, she can not only walk faster than anyone else, she can also fly to wherever she wants. So if you're ever outside and feel a breeze brushing past, followed by an exhilarated giggle, you have most likely just been passed by Janet, following her heart's desire. If you want to be like Janet and learn about your own magical properties, you can, for as little as $4 a month. A big thank you to all the patrons who make this podcast possible. You are the rainbow sprinkles on our chocolate fudge sundaes. And you can also be like Nico and write a review on iTunes, which helps other story lovers discover the delight of traditional storytelling. We would love to hear from you. Just as I realized what I was doing, something like glitter came out of the lamp's spout. There was a whoosh in the air, and before I knew what happened, a majestic creature was floating in the air in front of me. Its skin was translucent and iridescent. Gold-cuffed arms crossed in front of its chest. It fixed its eyes upon me, eyes that seemed to be changing color with every breath that I took.
Your wish is my command,
it said, and I could have sworn it was stifling a yawn. I thought about my wish long and hard, and eventually whispered it into the genie's ear. To my surprise, it chuckled and said,
"Huh, well, good luck with that."
Clicked its finger and, with another whoosh, vanished back into the lamp, leaving behind nothing but a small cloud of glitter that settled on the ground. Wishes upon stars only come true when kept a secret, and I think the same goes for wishes from magic lamps, so I won't share what I wished for, but if it really does come true, I'll let you know. Nico, thank you for reminding me of this singing magical lamp. I hope your own wish of a happy life will come true, and may you never run out of paper, colors, and inspiration. Perhaps one day you'd be willing to share one of your drawings on the podcast Facebook page. I'd love to see it. The second teller for this episode is Anne Shimojima. Anne tells folktales from around the world and stories from her Japanese heritage, reminding us that to be human is to travel the most fascinating journey of all. She says that stories help us find our place in the world today, and she has recently released a new CD called Sakura Tales, Stories from Japan. And this is her telling the story of the wise old woman.
There was once a small village ruled over by an arrogant young lord. Since he was arrogant, he thought he knew everything. Since he was young, he knew very little. Now the lord decided that he didn't like old people. He would see them in the village not working, and he would think, "Useless! We have no room for people who do not earn their way." So he made a decree that anyone who reached the age of 70 should be taken up the mountain and left there to die. The people of the village were horrified, of course, but no one dared to disobey. The lord was known to be merciless. He had soldiers who would carry out his bidding. And so as time passed, there were fewer and fewer old people in the village, and the lord was pleased. "Look at my fine village," he would say, "filled with young, strong, hard-working people." He did not notice the air of sadness that hung over everything. Now in this village there lived a farmer and his aged mother. They lived happily. But one day she reached the dreaded age of 70. He said nothing to her, but one day she said, "The time has come, my son. You must take me up the mountain. It is the law." Well, there was nothing he could do. Everyone knew how old she was. The soldiers would do it if he did not. So one sad day he put her upon his back and began to walk up the mountain. There was no path, and he had to find his way around the trees and bushes. As they walked, he began to hear the sound of twigs breaking. "What is that noise?" he asked. She said, "Oh, I am just breaking off small twigs and dropping them on the ground to mark the path so you will not get lost on the way home." He stopped. "I am taking you to your death, and even now you are thinking of me?" "Of course," she said, "I am your mother. I'm always thinking of you." Well, when the farmer heard this, he could not leave his mother up on the mountain. They waited until the sun went down, and under the cover of darkness, they crept back to the house. He built a secret room under the house, and his mother lived there. He brought her meals 3 times a day. She never saw the sun rise or set. She never felt the warm breeze upon her cheek. But each day she saw her son, and so she was happy. She lived there for 3 years. One day, a messenger rode into town from Lord Higa of the next town. The message was, "I like your village. I like it so much I will come to conquer it, but I like puzzles too. So I'll give you a chance to save your village. Solve these 3 puzzles and I'll leave you alone. 1. Make a length of rope made of ashes. 2. Here is a log. There is a hole running through the log, and on its way through, it bends back upon itself 7 times. Thread the log with a silk thread. And 3. Make me a drum that makes noise without being beaten." Quickly, the lord called together his wise men and gave them the problems, but they all shook their heads. "Sire, these are impossible. Ash crumbles at the touch of a finger. You cannot make a rope of ash. And the hole is curved, a needle is straight. You cannot thread this log. And a drum that makes noise without being beaten? Impossible." The lord dismissed them and thought, "I have a village of young, strong people. Surely one of them can think of the answers." He went into the middle of the village and posted a sign offering a bag of gold to anyone who could solve the problems. The farmer saw the sign. He went home and told his mother. She thought and said, "Well, these are not so very difficult. First, take a rope. Soak it well in salt water. Dry it well. Stretch it out on a row of flat stones and burn it on a windless day. Then you will see, lying on the stones, a rope of ashes. As for the log, take an ant, tie a silk thread around its body. Put it at one end of the hole, and put honey at the other end. When the ant walks through the hole to get to the honey, it will take the silk thread with it. As for the drum, make a drum with sides of paper. Put a bumblebee inside. As it tries to get out, it will bang against the paper, and you will have a drum that sounds without being beaten. The farmer was astonished. He ran to the castle to tell the Lord of these answers, but when he finished speaking, the Lord just looked at him. "You are very young to be wiser than all of my wise men," he said. The farmer could not lie. "No, sire," he said, "it was my mother. I have hidden her under my house these last 3 years. She is the one who solved the puzzles." He thought now he would be punished. Now the Lord would have his soldiers throw him into the dungeon. But the Lord sat there thinking. And finally he said, "I have been wrong. It is the elders among us who have wisdom and experience, and they should be honored and respected." And so the decree was lifted. The village became a happy place again. Even Lord Higa was impressed. He said, "This village has much wisdom, and the people there deserve to live in peace." And that is exactly what the farmer, his mother, and all the people did all the days of their lives.
Thank you for listening to the Story Story podcast. Show the love. Find Donna Washington and Anne Shimojima on the internet. Tell them you heard them on the podcast and now want to hear them tell more stories. You can find Rachel Ann and the podcast on Facebook and Instagram at Story Story Podcast or rachelannharding.com. And you can find me at isabelhauser.com. The fairy tale sponsor was from the beautiful brains of Linda Schuyler Ford. The inspiration for the true fairy tale was a review of the podcast by Nico and a magical lamp from Dubai. Check out the beautiful visuals for the fairy tale sponsors and let us know the favorite story you have heard or the favorite stories of your childhood. Who knows? Maybe you will hear them here soon. This podcast is made possible by patrons like you. If you would like to become a supporter of the podcast or discover sponsorship opportunities, you can find links on storystorypodcast.com. If supporting the podcast is not in the cards for you right now, no worries. Perhaps you would be willing to write a review on iTunes, which helps other story lovers find and enjoy the podcast. Head on over to the website and join the mailing list for hidden goodies. And if you tune in, you will hear more stories next week. But until then, live happily ever after.
Mary Kate opened up the door, and there on the doorstep, wrapped in his own blanket, was her baby.
And to this day, Anansi spins webs so that he can catch the flea, the fly, and the moth that got away.
If you go down to the lake on a clear day, when the water lies as calm as a sheet of glass, you can still see the rooftops of the castle glittering in the sunlight. And if you listen really closely, you can even hear the festive music from the royal court.